Joshua 22. We're going to start at verse 16. Praise God. And I'm reading out a New Living Translation. Verse 10 says, "But while they were still in Canaan, when they came to a place called Gilead, near the Jordan River, the men of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh stopped to build a large and imposing altar. The rest of Israel heard that the people of Reuben, Gad, and half-tribe of Manasseh had built an altar at Gilead, at the edge of the land of Canaan, on the west side of the Jordan River. The whole community of Israel gathered at Shiloh and prepared to go to war against them." Verse 13 says, "First, however, they sent a delegation led by Phinehas, son of Eleazar the priest, to talk with the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and half-tribe of Manasseh. In this delegation were 10 leaders of Israel, one from each of the 10 tribes, and each the head of his family within the clans of Israel. When they arrived in the land of Gilead, they said to the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and half-tribe of Manasseh, 'The whole community of the Lord demands to know why you are betraying the God of Israel. How could you turn away from the Lord and build an altar for yourselves in rebellion against him? Was our sin at Peor not enough? To this day, we are not fully cleansed of it, even after the plague that struck the entire community of the Lord. And yet today you are turning away from following the Lord. If you rebel against the Lord today, he will be angry with all of us tomorrow.'" See, they had learned some lessons here. Israel did. But they still had a lot to learn. Verse 19. "If you need the altar because the land you possess is defiled, then join us in the Lord's land, where the tabernacle of the Lord is situated, and share our land with us. But do not rebel against the Lord or against us by building an altar other than the one true altar of the Lord our God." Praise God. You may be seen. Look at your neighbor and ask them, "Where is your altar built? Where is your altar built?" This is a question that came to my mind weeks ago when the Lord started working with me on this. And it was confirmed to me that this is the message and the direction I needed to go over this last weekend. South Central Texas District, UPCI, held our sectional district conference over there at Hope Center Church on the 15th of March. A few of us showed up. It was an amazing time. Friday night, the speaker, Pastor Daryl John, preached a message that he titled "Count the Stars," and where Abram started doubting God. God had promised Abram descendants, and God went into the tent where Abram was, pulled him out of the tent, and said, "Look up and count the stars if you can. Such will be the number of your descendants." His focus was, "Look up, stop looking down, look up." That's where our help comes. Thursday night, it was confirmed to me, or Saturday, Friday night, it was confirmed to me. Thursday night was when Pastor preached the message, "Count the Stars." Friday night, it was also confirmed to me, our superintendent, Pastor Scoggins, preached the house down. If you were there, you know. He preached that these are the good old days, is what he titled that sermon. He said, far too often we get stuck looking backwards. We get caught up with wishing for the days of old. And then he said, on the opposite side, we get stuck looking too far ahead. And we don't look at the here and the now. He read out of scripture, said, look out at the fields. They are ripe. They are ready for harvest. The time is now. And it all works together. The Holy Ghost is great like this. And the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart and told me, before you even look up, before you look out, you must first look inwards. It does no good to look up or look out unless you look inwards. Because if you're not ready for what God wants you to do, you're just spinning your wheels. Where is your altar built? This question, it speaks in a very powerful way towards not only our physical action, but also our priorities, our spiritual priorities. In our passage, we read these 2.5 tribes, and we kind of jumped right into the story. The backstory is Israel had already crossed River Jordan. They had already entered the Promised Land. They had fought lots of battles. They had won lots of wars. And God had assigned portions of land to the different tribes. These particular tribes said, I really don't want what you want me to have, God. I know the land in Canaan is great and it's where you want us, God, but I really like the land on the other side of me. God, I know we just fought and won all these big wars and battles and we're reaping the rewards over here, but God, I've really come to love the other side of me. I know, God, that you have won miraculously and given us the land over here, but God, I really don't like it over there. I like the other side of the river. You see, their priorities were not at the things of God. They were not with the things of God. I don't see any evidence that they wanted to totally isolate themselves. I don't see any scriptural evidence, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't see anywhere where they just said, God, we don't want anything to do with you. We don't want anything to do with Israel. I don't see that. I see that they wanted to keep fellowship, but they did not want to be in the land with you. They said, God, I really love, I love you. I love your people. It's great. But I really like it on this side of the river. This side of the river is what I call home, Lord. Where are your priorities? I confess I tried to think of a way to ease into this message, but the Holy Ghost kept telling me just dive right. And I'm not here to offend anybody. I'm not here to hurt anybody's feelings. But if my words hurt your feelings, I encourage you, please examine yourself. And if I'm out of line, these men up here will be the first to stop me. But I feel I'm in the will of the Holy Ghost. What is so good about an altar? What is the significance behind an altar? We see it symbolizes many, many different things, different actions, different things in Scripture. But when you boil it all down, altars symbolize our deepest commitments and priorities. They are the focal points of our worship, our sacrifice, and communion. You see, because where your altar is where your priority. Where your altar is where your focus is. My question stands, where is your altar built? It hurt my heart not long ago. I was scrolling through social media, and I admit it is a cesspool, social media, but I was scrolling through, and I ran across a church's page, a UPCI church's page. And I'm not calling anybody out. I don't take this the wrong way. But I saw pictures. They were having fellowship, and it looked like it was a great time. But my eyes focused on certain things that caught my eye. These people, they looked very happy. But I looked at the clothes they were wearing. And you can tell a lot about a person by the clothes that they wear. Some of these people had sweatshirts on that said pink on the front of it. And if you don't know what that is, you know this is a very worldly artist. Seems despicable music. It's terrible. Others had the different musical artists all over the world. I didn't see a single picture that anybody was wearing anything, any indication that they were in church or that they loved God. So the question came to me, where is your altar built? God, I really love you. I really want to stay in church. But this music's also really good, God. God, I love you. I love the things. I love everything about you. But God, you know, when I was growing up, they had all this music. It was so good. I just want to keep that music. Nostalgia. We get caught up in nostalgia. We get caught up with looking too far behind that we lose focus of the present. I had to look up what nostalgia meant, because we all know what it means, but it really brings it home when you look at the physical definition. It is a sentimental longing or wistful affection for the past, typically for a period or a place with happy personal associations. You know, God, I'm so thankful that you saved me and you brought me out of the world and you erased my past and you're focusing on the present and the future. But God, I really like what I did. God, you know that music? Yeah, it wasn't Christian music, God, but man, it was good music. And the friends I had back then, God, I still keep them today. And, you know, they're not in church or anything. I've known them for 20 plus years, and they're not in church, but they're still good people. Where is your altar built? Is your altar in the things of God? Is your altar for the will of God? Or is your altar on the other side of River Jordan? Are you committed or are you not? Scripture says, I would rather have you hot or have you cold. But if you're lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. You cannot claim to serve God, yet have your foot on the other side of Jordan. If your altar is not in the right place, you can hide it from people, but God knows. And friend, if I'm being honest with you, the Holy Ghost works in my heart and works in these men's up here hearts. We can see when you're hiding something from God. We get in church, we put our church faces on. We put our mask on. We like to hide everything because, well, we're all good people. We're not sinners at heart. We're perfect people, right? We come to church with our pressed suit and tie and looking good. And no, we don't have any problems. We come to church acting like good Christians. We act like real good Christians. But then we leave church Sunday afternoon and we take off the mask and our real self shows. Where is your altar built? Where have you chosen to make camp? Have you chosen the land of Canaan that God miraculously gave you? Or have you decided, I don't like that very much. I like the other side of River. I don't know more. I got cut it on my God. In Joshua 22, we see these tribes. Reuben, Gad, half-tribe of Manasseh. They built an altar on the eastern side of the Jordan River. And rightfully so, this immediately sparked concern with the other tribes who were still in Canaan. Immediately, they were like, what's going on? And if you read down, they waged war. They were right. They were like, we're going to go take care of these. God gave us this whole land, and they're over there doing their own thing. That's got to stop. But then you keep reading, and these 2.5 tribes are like, no, wait. It's okay. No, it's fine. We're building this altar in remembrance. It's a memorial for what God's done for us. They put on their good church. Now I see, I don't see, I'm reading further on in Scripture, I really don't see much other mention of these 2.5 tribes. As you read on through Scripture, there's a couple spots where some names are mentioned, but not a whole lot. I don't see any major miracles coming out of it. I don't see any major preachers, prophets. I don't see anything earth-shattering coming from them. They just kind of fade off into the dark. Because they decided to build their altar on the other side of River Jordan. Now, altars come and altars are often used as a place of reflection. We see that's what these tribes said. No. We want to remember the past. Are you getting too caught up in remembering your past that you forget and overlook your present? Friend, God has great things in store for each and every one in this building under the sound of my voice. But you can get too caught up in your past, too caught up with nostalgia. You end up building your altar in your past and ignoring your present. Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where is your priority? Where is your focus? I understand we all have to have jobs. We all have to provide for our families. There's certain things that each and every one of us have to do to just survive in this day and age. But is your focus too much on, well, I got to pursue every opportunity I can because I like the money and money's good, and you ignore God and the things of God. You ignore little things. Where are your priorities? Oh, the church is having a fellowship get together. They're doing a work day, but I got too much going on over here. So the church will understand. God will understand. I told you, be ready. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be open. Well, I can't go to, you know, Wednesday nights are great, but I there's these other commitments. I have friends that are outside and they always have things going on Wednesday nights, and it's my only time to see these people. So God will understand if I still come to life. Where is your altar built? Is your altar in the land of Canaan, or is it on the other side of the Jordan River? Where is your altar built? Our first priority ought to be to build altars of worship where we honor and glorify God. But that altar of worship can also turn into an altar of worldliness. Well, I can't. I'm going to step on so much goes here, okay? And it's not me. It's the Holy Ghost. I don't know any of the songs we sing on Sunday morning. It's new. Well, they put the words up on the screen so you can memorize them. Yeah. I still just have problems memorizing these. Oh, but you give me the old school Snoop Dogg song and I can recite every single word. You give me the latest Jay-Z single, I can recite every single word. Where is your altar built? Where is it built? Is it with the things of God, or is it on the other side of the Jordan River? Where is your altar built? Your priorities. You might try and hide your priorities, but always, 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 your real actions will come up. You can hide anything from other people, but you can't hide anything from God. Where is your altar built? Altars can, and often are, place of sacrifice. Thank God we don't do animal sacrifice anymore because Jesus came and took that on for us. But there's something powerful about this altar and coming to sacrifice at this altar. This is a place where you come and you say, God, I don't have anything else. I've laid it all out for you, God. Whatever you need from me, God, here I am. I sacrifice everything. But on the flip side of that token, you can turn it from godly sacrifice to worldly sacrifice. I don't know why this has stuck in me so hard. But seeing one God apostolic, Holy Ghost-filled Christians walking around wearing merchandise for these worldly singers and sinful musicians. That tells me your priority is not right. You claim to be a Christian. You claim this and you claim that. Yet your actions speak louder than words. Your choices speak louder than your words. If you can recite every single word to every single song to your favorite worldly artist, but you can't recite a single word to a song we sing on Sunday morning, where's your altar built?
Where is your priorities at? Is your altar built in the land of Canaan? Or is it built on the other side of the Jordan River? Where is it built? This question resides. Where are you building your altar? Friend, I don't want to see you show up to the throne of God on Judgment Day, and you show up and God reads all your actions and you see everything is laid out and you're weighed on the way, on the scale, and you're found one. But God, I cast out demons in your name, God. I did healings in your name, God. I performed miracles in your name, God. Where is your altar built? I don't want you to be reevaluating your life choices when you're in front of the judgment seat. Because then it's far too late. Then all it's over. That's it. I need you to ask yourself, where did I build my altar? Where are my priorities? Am I focused on the things of God, or am I focused on the things of the world? You cannot have one foot on this side and the other foot on the other side. You cannot serve two masters. You will love one and hate the other. You will cling one and despise the other. You can't do it. You can't build your altar halfway over here and halfway over there. You can't do it because you're going to default to one side. Where is your altar built? The altar is also looked at as a place of communion with God, a place of fellowship with God. There's something special about gathering together on a Sunday morning when there's a lot of other things we could be doing, but you decide I'm going to church. Praise God. There's power in fellowship with each other and in communion with God. On the flip side, that altar of fellowship can move from fellowship with God and godly people to fellowship with the world and the world. I don't have a lot of friends in church. You know, yeah, they're good people in church. Man, that Brother Richard, I don't know. And these people, they're good people, but man, they just kind of rub me the wrong way. And this side over here, man, they're pretty good, but I don't know. There's something going on. I don't know. But man, my friends I've had for the last 25 plus years, they're good people. Yeah, they're not in church and nothing like that, but they're good people. And, you know, they want to go hang out. They invited me to go hang out Saturday night. Oh, where'd you go? Ah, just this little place over here. I went, well, it was a bar, but I didn't drink it. I didn't do that. They wanted me to go over here and do that, and over here. And then they met this guy on the corner that gave him a little something. And I didn't partake in any of that. I didn't. I'm a good Christian. I would be dead. Where is your altar? Your altar of fellowship with God can quickly change to an altar of fellowship with the world. I'm not saying never talk to your friends, never meet. I'm not saying that at all, no. But evaluate yourself. Where is your altar? If that fellowship causes you to stray away from fellowship with God, I'd venture to say your priorities are messed up. I'm finishing, I promise I'm finishing, but the Holy Ghost hasn't let this go. Hebrews 10:25 exhorts us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but encourage one another, especially as the day of our Lord approaches. Friend, God is coming soon. It's getting closer by the moment. And friend, if you haven't told your outside friends about God, why not? If you've evaluated yourself and you find yourself looking too far to the other side of the River Jordan, evaluate and say, God, help me switch my priorities. And God, I have my friends, but God, I want to see them saved, God. But ultimately, God, my salvation is what I'm focused on, God. I can't force anybody to do anything, but I can make myself. And ultimately, God, I don't care if they're lost or if they're saved. Ultimately, is it my salvation, God? Where is your priority built, my friend? Where is your priority? Where is your altar at? Our priorities should ultimately align with the things of God, with God's will, and with God's purpose for our lives. Matthew 6:33, we must seek first his kingdom and righteousness. If you evaluate yourself, and I ask you to do that as we stand, if you evaluate yourself and God speaks to your heart and you find that your priorities are too far this direction, talk to God. Won't you let God speak to your heart right now? If you find that your priorities are too far to the other side of River Jordan, if you find that maybe you've built an altar on the other side of the Jordan, I've got good news. There's still time. There's still an opportunity for you. You can tear down that altar and come to the other side. When our priorities are in alignment with God, our altars become places of a divine encounter and transformation. Friend, there's power when you come to the altar. There's power when you let God transform you. I ask you now, won't you examine yourself? The altar's open. There's no shame in coming to the altar. There's no shame. No one's going to judge you. No one's looking at you. The altar's open. I encourage you, come. I ask you, examine your hearts. Ask yourself, where is my altar built? God wants you to show me where my altar is, God. And God, if I built my altar in the wrong spot, God, I'm sorry. God, won't you help me, God? I want to build my altar in the land of Canaan, God. When